it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. It's Joe McGee. Welcome to the Heroes of Faith. We're in a great series following in the book of Judges that nobody ever reads. You know, if you're going to look something up, most people go to Proverbs. They read a Psalm. You read something that Jesus said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But very few people go to the Old Testament. And there's an old covenant, and then there's a new covenant. And the new covenant is a better covenant. And so, but you learn from the old covenant. It's still God. God was involved. And so today we're going to talk about Samson, the great Samson. You know, God had gone to their parents. Lady couldn't get pregnant, his mom, and God showed up and said, you're going to have a son, and don't ever cut his hair, and you call him Samson. He's going to be a great man. The problem was, Samson was all that, and he did have long hair, and he never cut it, and he was very strong. He could rip the gates off a city wall and came out in the country. I mean, he was incredible. It was a God thing. But Samson had an eye for the women, and it just messed him up. And so this is where he dies. This is in Judges chapter 16, because you need to know the end of a story. Now, me, I'm an old guy. I was born in the 50s, 1951. I like movies that end well. I don't like to watch anything that does not end well. And so you got to watch when you're reading the Bible. It ends really good in Revelation. It ends really good. But it takes a lot of twists and turns getting to Revelation. Start in Genesis. First family went crazy. They got fired, evicted. Kids start killing each other. That's in Genesis. And you have this whole journey until you get to the middle of the Bible, where we have a holy night, silent night, we the kings of Orinara, where God sends a son to earth to save mankind. So you got to read the whole Bible. You need to read it through. You know, they have a one-year Bible. I tell people, you got to read through your Bible every year. Now, if you miss a day, don't go back and catch it up. Catch it up next year. But try to read. Try to read something every day. I mean, if you can just read 10 minutes a day, you can go through your whole Bible in a year. So in Judges 16, it said how glad the Philistines were to have Samson in the power. Samson, they finally, he's told Delilah how he got his strength. And so when he's asleep, she cuts his hair. He's not strong anymore. And they captured him. They never been able to capture him before. So then they're thrilled now. He can't hurt them anymore. So they tied him up and took him to Gaza. Before he placed him in the prison, they poked his eyes out. So not only has he lost strength, he's blind. In prison, it was Samson's job to grind the grain. They chained him and made him turn a heavy millstone to make flour. Day after day, he worked in prison. With each passing day, his hair is growing longer again. Poor Samson. He made a bad mistake. Delilah had not been his friend. He should never have told her his secret of his great strength. Now he's blind, and he would suffer for the rest of his life. About this time, the Philistine rulers gave a great feast in honor of their god Dagon. They wanted to thank their false god for giving them power over Samson. And the Philistines rejoiced, and they made merry and had a big feast. And so they said, well, bring Samson so he can amuse us. So the boy led the once great Samson there. And the people saw him blinded and in chains. They made fun of him. Thought he can't hurt us anymore. But Samson knew the temple was crowded with people. On the flat roof, there were 3,000 people, it says. Samson told the boy who led him there, take me where I can lean against the pillars of the building. As the people made fun of him, Samson prayed, oh, Lord God, remember me. Strengthen me this one more time. For the Philistines have put out my eyes. And standing between the two main pillars of the house, Samson put his arms around each pillar, pulled with all of his might, and the house fell down and everybody died. And so he had this great one last victory. So you have this parent, can't have a baby. They're praying, God give us a baby. God said, I'm going to give you a baby. He's going to be a deliverer of Israel. He's going to be a champion. Just don't cut his hair and don't let him drink wine. And they did that. But I teach this in all my dating classes when I taught high school. But you got to watch. You know, God's got you a special spouse. Opposites attract. People come to me all the time and say, Joe, I'm in love. No, you're blind as a bat and dumb as dirt. You don't know what love is. Love's the most expensive four-letter word in the universe. You ever tell somebody I love you? Get out your checkbook, your 401k, your rod and reel, your bass boat, your hunting dog, your pickup truck. Pile them on the table and then shove it at them and say, hey, I love you. Because if love's not costing you something, it's not love. So Samson was promised. He started off great. But then he got a wild eye for a woman, and the woman was no good. And finally, she finally tricked him into telling him the secret. So, you know, he's in prison with his eyes put out, but at the end of his life, he prayed one more time. God heard him, and God answered. And so he destroyed more people at the end of his life than he ever had, and God gave him a great victory. Anyhow, with that story, you jump to Ruth chapter 1. So you come out of this thing with Samson, like, what happened? Well, it went south. So what's God doing? Well, he's still trying to find a people. God's always trying to find somebody that will trust him. God's trying to find somebody that will put their faith in him. The Bible says in Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, you can't whip the devil. So God's got all these stories trying to show us how faith works and why it's critical and why you need it. So in Ruth chapter 1, this is a famine spread throughout the land of Israel. Because there was so little rain that people could not raise enough food to eat. Word came that there was food in the country of Moab, Elimelech. Elimelech moved there with his wife and his two sons, and they decided to stay in Moab until the famine was over. Now, the family was glad to have enough food to eat, but life was very different in a heathen land. Here, the people had never heard about the true God. They worshipped an idol called Chemosh. Because they worshipped an idol with fire, they sometimes called him a fire god. His image was made of brass. The sacrifice would burn on his outstretched arms. I mean, they actually sacrificed people. Even though heathen surrounded Elimelech and Naomi, they worshiped the one true God. They taught their sons to worship him too. Then Elimelech died. How much Naomi and the two sons missed him. Now Mahlon and Chilion cared for their mother. Later, Mahlon and Chilion married and had homes of their own. Their wives were Ruth and Orpah. They were Moabite girls. Instead of teaching their young husbands to serve the Chemosh, the fire god, Ruth learned to serve the true God. Things went well with Naomi and her sons and their lives for about 10 years. Then Mahlon and Chilion died. Now her husbands died. The boys have died. How sad and lonely Naomi felt. She was not able to care for herself. When she learned that Bethlehem was no longer suffering from famine, she decided, you know, I'm going to go back home to my own people. I got some relatives there that surely can help me. Both Ruth and Orpah had loved Naomi. They wanted to go with her. Naomi agreed that they could go part of the way. After the three had walked some distance, Naomi told her daughters-in-law, listen, go back. Go back to your mother's house. May the Lord be as good to you as he's been to me and your sons. May the Lord help you and find a good husband. And then she kissed him. And through tears, they said, we want to go with you. Naomi said, no, go back, my daughters. I do not have more sons for you to marry. I am too old to get a husband, too old to care for us. Please, go back. Once Naomi had been a stranger in Moab, she knew how it felt to live in a strange land. She thought the girls would be happier among their own people. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye and started back to Moab. But Ruth did not want to return. Naomi told her, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to the people and their gods. You do the same. Ruth says, do not make me leave you. She begged, I'm going to go wherever you go. I will live wherever you live. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Now Naomi realized how much Ruth wanted to go. Naomi didn't have any more to say about returning to Moab. Instead, the two walked on and on over the hills, through the valleys, and at last they came to Bethlehem, where Naomi had lived with her husband and two little boys. Now, how glad Naomi's friends were to see her again. That was how much older she looked by the lines in her face. She had suffered much trouble and sorrow. They could hardly believe this was the same Naomi that left Bethlehem during the famine. They even asked one of them, is this really Naomi? Because, man, age has hit her. She told her friends, don't call me Naomi, but call me Mara. Instead, because I've lost my husband, I've lost my sons, life has become very bitter for me. Naomi meant pleasant. Mara meant bitter. She wanted to change her name because her happiness had been changed to sorrow. The friends wanted to know what Naomi planned to do. Naomi told them about Ruth, her daughter-in-law, who had returned from Moab with her, and the two would live together. Now it was harvest time in Bethlehem. The grain was ripe in the fields, and the reapers were busy cutting the grain and binding it into bundles, as you've seen many times in photographs and pictures and paintings. As was the custom among the Israelites, the reapers left some stalks of grain for the poor together. So when Ruth heard about the custom, she asked Naomi, let me go to the fields and glean grain that's been left. Go, my daughter, Naomi said. Now, Naomi's old. So Ruth goes. And it happened that Ruth began to glean in the field of a very rich man named Boaz. When he came to see how the servants were getting along with the reaping, he saw a strange young woman picking up the grain that had been dropped. "Who's the new woman?" he said. The overseer explained, "Well, she's a Moabite maiden who came back with Naomi. She has asked permission to glean after the reapers ever since she's worked, and she's worked steadily without even resting. In other words, she's a hard worker. She didn't take any breaks." Boaz watched Ruth patiently among the people who were strange to her. He knew she was trying to find food for Naomi and herself. No wonder Boaz admired this beautiful young woman. Boaz came up to Ruth and said, "Young woman, do not go to another field to glean, but work with my maidens here. When you are thirsty, let me get a drink from the water jars." Ruth was very thankful for his kindness. She bowed her head and asked, "Why are you so kind to me, a foreigner?" He said, "I've heard about your kindness to your mother-in-law since your husband died," Boaz said. "I've heard how you've left your own people and come to a people who are strange to you. May the Lord reward you, and may many blessings be on you because you trust him." Ruth's heart was warmed by the kind words. When mealtime came, Boaz invited Ruth to eat lunch with his servants. "Treat her kindly," he said. "Be sure to leave some grain for her together," he told the workers. By evening, Ruth had a bushel of grain. She carried it to Naomi. Naomi had saved part of the lunch, for Naomi. Naomi was surprised to see so much grain. "Where did you glean today?" Ruth told about Boaz and his kindness. And Naomi said, "Boaz is one of the great, great relatives of mine. It's good you're working in his fields." And all during the harvest, Ruth gleaned from Boaz's fields. Well, you know, God's always ready to help somebody. He's always got something to say to somebody. He's looking for somebody who wants to trust him. And so what you're looking for, you're looking for somebody to step out in faith, somebody to say, "Hey, I'll do that. I can do that." And so what you get, all these stories, here's a lady that was born a heathen. She doesn't know the real God. But she realizes something. The family that she gets to know is like, man, this woman's different. She prays different. She thinks different. Even through all of the struggles that Naomi went through, she had to move out of her country, got to move to a foreign country. They're trying to find work. She has her two boys. Then her husband dies. Then her boys die. And she realized something. Through all this negative, this woman really still has faith in God. Now, she's been from, as we say, to hell and back, but she still has faith in God. She said, "Listen, I want to go where you go. Your God's going to be my God. Your people are going to be my people. I'm going to sleep you sleep, go where you go, do what you do." She said, "Listen, I made a decision." Now, listen, there's no TV, there's no internet, there's no radio. She saw something like, "Listen, I don't know what you've got, but it's better than what I've got. And your God you're praying to is a whole lot better than the gods we've been praying to. I can see a difference." So in Ruth 3, it says, "When the harvest was over, there was a feast. Rich and poor rejoiced together because God had given them much food for another year. So Naomi sent Ruth to Boaz's feast. When Boaz recognized Ruth, he said, hey, watch this, the words, may the Lord bless you, young woman. Even though you do not have a husband, you have not followed after the young men. Everyone in the city knows you are a good woman." The lady has a reputation. And so you start looking, what are you looking for? Well, he's noticed the new one. Evidently, she wasn't ugly because he's noticed her the first day she's gleaning the field. He knows she's a beautiful woman. She's a hard-working woman. She has a great reputation in town. People say she's living for her mother-in-law, taking care of her. She's working a job to feed both of them. He said, man, this woman's got some character. So I used to tell the guys, when you start looking for a wife, don't just look for looks. Looks are going to go south, guys. Flesh is going to wrinkle, crinkle, sag, and drag. They're going to put on weight. Flesh is going back to dust. But the spirit, that lasts forever. So find somebody, number one, who fears God, somebody who's chasing God. I used to tell people, I want to marry somebody who's chasing God faster than I am. I want somebody who wants to be around God. And so everyone in the city knows you're a good woman. Now it says this, now it's closely related to your husband who died. Yet there's one person who's more closely related than I am. Ruth listened. According to the custom, she knew her husband's closest relative was expected to marry her and care for Naomi. Tomorrow, Boaz said, I will talk to the other relative about this. If he will give up his rights, I would like very much to have you for my wife. Boaz told Ruth how much he loved her. It's like you say, well, what kind of love? It's not the sissy love. It's not the romantic love we see on Hollywood movies. He realized this is one fine woman. She's a fine looking, hard working, fears God, takes care of her mother-in-law. This is one fine woman. I would love to have this woman for a wife. So when Ruth got home, she gave Naomi the grain Boaz had sent with her and told her what happened, how excited Ruth was. Naomi said, now tomorrow, you'll know for sure whether Boaz can marry you. He will not rest until he's taken care of the matter. When Boaz got up the next morning, he went to the city gate to see his relative. Before 10 elders of the city, the relative came and said he could not marry Ruth or care for Naomi. Boaz told the elders, you are witnesses that I want to marry Ruth and care for Naomi. We are witnesses, the elders said. And they asked the Lord to bless Ruth and Boaz. When Ruth and Boaz were married, he took her to live in his own house. How happy they were. Naomi was happy too, for Ruth and Boaz were good to her. A boy was born to Ruth and Boaz. Naomi loved being a grandmother, and her little Obed, this boy was named, she helped Ruth care for him. How good God was to them. That's an incredible story. You know, God's always trying to be good. He's looking for somebody to trust him. From Genesis to Revelation, from the beginning of time, God's always looking for somebody they'll put the trust in him. What's he want? Somebody that'll trust him. It's like, it's real simple. But God, I trust you. Lord, I don't care what I see, what I hear. I put my faith in you. You're the God that created the heavens and the earth. You're the God that gives me my next breath, lets my heart beat next time. It's you, God. It's all you. And I give you the glory. I give you the praise. I give you the honor. I thank you, God. Now, I appreciate all the things you've given me the opportunity to do, but it's you. It's always you. You keep God first in your life, and I promise you things will go well. So we'll pick this up next time. Great story. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God could do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family, and we're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.